Certainly been good to be in the Lord's house again this morning. And I appreciate what the Lord's done in the service already. And I'm looking for Him to do more things in hearts here today. Appreciate these already come to the altar. And this service has been a little bit different. I've been a little under the weather this week. I missed work all week except for one day. I'm still a little bit hoarse, but I'm glad to be here. And I'm trying not to get too close to some of you, especially if I know that you have sickness or some of these little babies and stuff. I certainly don't want them sick. I'm trying not to get right up on people. So I'll still shake your hand going out the door if you want to, or you can bump my fist or whatever you want to do. It helps nowadays, I guess, some people, when we don't shake hands, I don't want to get nobody sick, but it's certainly been good to be in the Lord's house today. John, how old are you? 34? I thought I was about 10 years old, and I wasn't sure exactly. And Jonathan, he's about 10 now, and he's 11 or 12. He's about the height of John, a little bit taller maybe when first time I remember. Now, he might have started before that, but I brought back some old memories. I was, about 18 or 20, and it just got saved somewhere around 20. It might have been right before I got saved, and I was going to church some, and I remember the true gospel. My daddy got up to sing. John was singing, and I guess the reason I remember it so good, I got a videotape of it too, so periodically my grandmother, somebody be watching it, and it's going to go fit with the message here today, because really we don't never know. Some of these little kids will get up here and sing, and we don't really know where God's going to take them. We got preachers just out today preaching at other churches. We got singers out traveling with groups singing at other churches. We got bus drivers out driving groups to other churches to sing, and we still got almost a packed house. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing to have all these different workers going different places. And I want you to take your Bibles with us this morning. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 25. This has been on my heart for a long time. It's been so long, I forgot how long it's been. And last night seemed like... the Lord brought it back to my mind. I'd studied on a long time ago, thought I would use it several years ago, and never got to. And then last night, it just seemed like the Lord brought it back to my mind. And I've been really stirred up all night, my heart, thinking about these scriptures. And I want you to pray this morning. I'll try not to go too long. Sometimes when a preacher's excited about what he's preaching about, we won't say too much. And I just want to say what God wants me to say. And I want you to be mindful to what the Lord tells you to do if you feel like you need to come and pray. This service has been a little quieter than normal, but I felt the Holy Spirit just as strong as any other Sunday. And that's what's so good, that God don't come in about how loud or how quiet we are. He comes in if we're worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. If you would, stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're willing and able. We read this one verse of Scripture, Acts chapter 9, in verse 25. The Bible said the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you once again, thanking you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house one more time. God, we thank you, Lord, for this good number, Lord, that you've allowed us together with today. We know every Sunday's different, and Lord, some's missing today that wasn't here last Sunday or the Sunday before, and then some's back today, Lord, that's been missing. Then there's some in the hospital, and some's traveling, singing, preaching. Lord, you know where each person's at, and God, I pray, Lord, you'd visit those in the nursing homes and the hospitals, assisted living homes, and our shut-ins, Lord, that's not able to get out. But Lord, we ask and we beg you, Lord, this morning that you'd come by and visit with us. I've already felt your presence. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd move in the preaching hour. God, I pray you'd give us that that's needed, Lord, for your people. I pray, Lord, if there's one here today, Lord, that's not saved, I pray their heart to be moved on. Help us, Lord, to realize that every one of us has a job to do. And God, I pray, Lord, we'd do our best to do that you called us to do. Lord, when our remarks have been said and done, I pray that the Holy Spirit will move in the invitation. Lord, hearts will be touched. And Lord, whatever's accomplished, Lord, we'd do our best to bow in worthy head, give you the praise and honor and the glory for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. I began to read last night. If you go back to the beginning of chapter 9, you'll begin to read how Saul was on his way to Damascus. The story about Saul being on the road to Damascus on his way to get the church to persecute Christians, to bring them back, to kill them. And we know that he left from Jerusalem and the places where he was staying to go out in these outer cities and try to bring the church back. He was working diligently trying to shut the church down. And glory to the Lord's name, God got a hold of Saul on the road to Damascus, and he saw a bright light, and the Lord brought him down to the ground, to his knees, where he saw a vision on the road to Damascus, and he said, "Lord, Lord, he knew there was somebody greater in his presence." Paul had a lot of authority from the city on what he was doing, but he had run into somebody that had more power than he did. Now, periodically in this message, if I ain't careful, I'm going to call him Paul. I guess it's just by habit. But at this time, his name was still Saul. Saul, what was just fixing to be a newborn converted Christian, if you'd have it. And that's what Jonathan is today. That's what Owen is. And that's what others are in here today. If you've only been saved by God's grace for a little while, you're a new conversion in Christ Jesus. Amen. We don't hear that much anymore talking about a new conversion. And when we think about Paul, we think about is a great preacher. And we think about what he done. We think about how God used him. But we forget that even Paul started out as Saul, as a newborn converted Christian. Amen. And listen what the scripture says. It began to tell Ananias. He said, "There's one down in the house of Simon. He's lost his sight." And he said, "I want you to go and lay your hands on Saul." And Ananias went down to the house. He laid his hands on Brother Saul. That's what he called him. Now, you can say what you want to. I believe whether he is already saved, sometimes we don't mean to. We'll call somebody brother. We'll say, "Boy, I love that old brother." And we don't even know if he's saved. But if he wasn't saved, I believe Ananias had enough faith in the Lord that God had said Saul was a chosen vessel. And if he wasn't a brother, he was going to be one. Amen. Why did Ananias go? Because the Lord told him to. But you know, Ananias wasn't in such a big hurry, but I might have run down there. He said, "Lord, I've heard about this fella. Now he's persecuted the church." And that's when the Lord said, "Ananias, I've put my hand upon this man. He's a chosen vessel." If I ain't careful this morning, there's a story behind the chosen vessel. And that's not what I'm preaching on this morning, about vessels. But if I had a thought above another today, it'd be this. We need to hold on to the rope. Don't let go of the rope. The rope could be a lot of things in our life, but standards and people being in the basket, we need to hang on to the rope. Amen. That was what's on my heart last night, and I just couldn't get it off my heart. Well, I tell you, the Lord had really impressed it hard. And as I began to look back and saw, the Bible said, listen, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then saw certain days with the disciples, which was at Damascus, and straightway preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is this not he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. It let me know that Saul took all the education that he had and he began to use it, and the Damascus people wasn't liking it, and that he was proving that the Christ that they killed was the very Christ that was supposed to come and die for the sins of the world. And they wanted Saul to quit preaching and to be quiet. Amen. Nowadays, you'll hear many people trying to get the preachers to quit preaching. And this might bother some of you, but I hope by the time I die, I'd rather have a church running me out of the church instead of patting me on the back. That's the prayer I keep praying. Lord, let me try to make such a difference. If the world's going to keep getting worse and I preach harder against sin, then get it to where they don't want to, that they have a problem with the things that I'm preaching and the way to live. God don't change. His word don't change. His standard hasn't changed. But our country is vastly changing. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not here this morning to preach doom and gloom. This country can go to hell in a handbasket, but this preacher ain't going with them. Amen. I'm on a boat that's headed up, and while the rest of them being drowned and going down, the church is going up, and she's going to stay up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here Saul is. Damascus is having a problem with what he's preaching. And the Bible said that after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. By laying await was known of Saul. They watched the gate day and night to kill him. They began to talk to one another. They had a desire to kill him. They wanted to shut Saul down. They didn't want him to get back outside the city of Damascus, knowing that he was on fire for Jesus. I wonder today, if you're so on fire for Jesus, that the devil's got people at the gate trying to keep you boxed in. You ever thought about that? I'm telling you something, if you're really against the devil, he'll be against you. If you don't feel a little friction, a little persecution, you don't feel something fighting against you every once in a while, you better check up and see what team you're on. The devil's going to fight against you if you're a Christian. And there ain't as many Christians today as they say they are. You can go ahead and mark that down if you don't do. Christ wouldn't run off with another man's wife. They never caught Christ being drunk. Amen. Christ didn't talk about people. Amen. It's going to get a little quiet in here for just a few minutes. So if we do these things, you might be saved, but you can't say you're a Christian if we're going to go by the Bible. They was first called Christians in Antioch because they said that's living like Christ lived. That's why they're Christians. Oh, saying, what would Jesus do? We need to get back to where we don't just say it, but people really start putting it in action. What would Jesus do? That's what I want to do. That's what Saul was. He was a new converted Christian. Listen to me. And he was already preaching. Some of you might not know this. Some of you might not believe this, and I really don't care. It's between me and the Lord. But I started preaching about 6 or 7 months. It was April, May, June, July, August. 4 months after I got saved, I started preaching. Well, that's pretty quick, Brother Jeff. Well, Saul got a jump on me. I don't even think he waited 4 months. He got converted, and immediately they found him in the synagogue. He began to preach, and Rob will tell you something. If you had a change and God saved you, he calls you to preach, you ain't going to be able to be quiet about it. Amen.
That bothered me for a long time, Brother Mal. I used to say, Lord, did I just get caught up in the moment? Did you really call me to preach? One day I was reading about Saul. Said immediately he began to go to synagogue and preach. And I said, well, Lord, at least I held back for about 4 months. Praise the Lord. I was raised in church. I'd been in Sunday school. I knew enough that I could teach a class or preach. But I'm going to tell you something. Just because you have knowledge of the Scripture don't mean that God's called you to preach. Amen. There's a lot of people that said the Lord's called them to preach. And think they got a call from a friend or somebody. I don't know if the Lord called them or not. Amen. I'm not their judge, but I just say this. I've seen preachers do things I wouldn't do before I got saved. So-called preachers. We're going to leave that alone. We're preaching about Saul this morning. And I know this might be a little different, but I believe this is the reason the Lord's let the service go this way. This morning, there's waiting by the gate. They didn't want Saul to get out of the city of Damascus. And so some of the people, the Bible said the disciples got together. They took Saul and they put him in a basket. They put it out the window. And we could argue all day long when I said, hold the rope, hold the rope. You might say, Brother Jeff, I don't read where there's a rope. Could have been a chain. Could have been a line. Could have been a thread. Could have been a sheet. Don't get lost in the message this morning. The rope is not significant. I'm talking about holding the standard. I'm talking about sticking to your guns and not giving up. Y'all with me this morning? But I'll say this. I don't believe there was many chains in that day. I don't read much of chains. I know that one man was in the tombs and he was bound with fetters and chains. People in prison was bound by chains. But most of the time, your common man, when the boat was coming apart, the Bible said they took ropes and they girded the ship and tried to hold it together. I believe the rope was the best thing most of them had that was commonly they could get their hands on. So I believe, personally, they used a rope to let this basket down. Now I want to ask you a question. Last night, boy, the Lord really got a hold of me about this. You don't have to be a pastor, a preacher, or a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to be raised in church to help hold the rope. Everybody can help hold the rope. I remember when I got in school and started playing tug of war. Sometimes we won and sometimes we lost. I wasn't never the anchor. I wasn't never the biggest fella. Now I could probably be the anchor, praise the Lord. But in school, I weighed just a measly 90, 100 pounds. I was little, Brother EJ. But I could get in there somewhere and hold a rope, amen. And even if it's dragging me, and I have been drug a few times in tug of war when the anchor let go. Y'all ever play tug of war? Not. And I was holding and thought we had it good. And that guy behind me, I thought he had it good. And then he'd let go of it. And I'd know when they'd give up because I'd start feeling that. And a few times I was on my chest hanging on like that, eating dirt. A few times I got drug in a mud hole when there's mud between us. But I will say this. By the help of the Lord, I don't remember ever letting go of the rope. Just quitting. Anybody can quit. Anybody can let go of a rope. Praise the Lord. We need some people that's going to hold on to the rope, hold on to the standard that was based our country on, that got you saved, me saved. It'll get our children saved, amen. Don't let the standard down. You know, they didn't even know who they had in the basket. Brother Glenn, he was a new converter. Some of them didn't even believe he'd been called to preach. We find here, listen, that Barnabas, listen, some of them didn't want to listen to him. Listen, said, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, saved to join himself to the disciples, for they were all afraid of him, believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. He said, how I bumped into the Lord. And he let me know Saul's changed man now. Not only did the Lord let Ananias know, he let Barnabas know. And I'm glad he let Saul know he is converted. It's sad when everybody else thinks the man's converted and he don't know he's converted. If you're here today and you say, Brother Jeff, I just don't know if I've ever been saved or not, then it's a good chance you're not saved. That's a weak amen. If you don't know you're saved, you ain't saved according to the scripture, amen. The Bible said, with your mouth, confession's made. When you're saved, you'll tell people you're saved. I believe that. They didn't know that Saul was going to do everything he did. Yet they're still willing to hold the rope for a newborn converter. Now think about this. I thought about this the other day. And I hope this don't embarrass him. And I hope he don't ever tell anybody I said the Lord's called him to preach. Now, I know it's going to embarrass him a little bit, but I've had people point me out before, and that's fine. But AJ, he reminds a lot of myself. He loves ball. That's all he thinks about, talks about. He comes to church in his ball uniform, and I used to. And I just about guarantee after church he can tell me later. He don't got to tell me right now. He probably don't like doing classroom reports, and he'd just soon take a zero instead of get up there. He's smiling at me. So I know. He don't say much here. He don't sing. He don't teach. And if he does sing, I ain't never heard him. Amen. That's the good part about being in the choir. Sometimes you get to sing, nobody hears you. Because it ain't about the individual. It's about the voices of all the people blended together. Not to say one person can sing by another, but I'm just saying I've never personally heard him out loud enough that I could say, boy, AJ, that was good. I heard you singing this morning. But the Lord took a young boy just like him within myself. And the last thing I thought that I was going to be was pastoring the church 20 years later. And I give up the ball. And the things that I thought was important begin to fade. And God called me in the ministry. But when I was a young boy, my mama was holding the rope. And my grandmother was holding the rope. Yeah. And Harold Pulliam was holding the rope. They didn't know who they had in the basket. And we don't know who we have in the basket. Hold the rope this morning. God will use some of our children in this church to do some great things. Amen. I've heard Ricky Exon several times. He's witnessed to me. And we've talked about the Lord. And one night he told me, I was really nervous. First time I met him. And I've shared this before. And he said, boy, preach a good one tonight. And I said, will you really pray for me? I'm a nervous wreck. And he said, you ain't got to be nervous. And I said, well, you go hear all these good fancy preachers and stuff. And I said, now, I ain't much of a revival preacher. I said, I don't hardly ever preach revival. So don't be expecting nothing great tonight. I said, you're probably going to get a little meager fare. And that's the way I felt. I wasn't trying to badmouth myself. I was going to give it all I got. But I'm going to tell you, some men's all I got ain't as much as other men's. That's just the way it is. And he looked over and he said, brother, all I come was for a meager fare. That's all I come for is a little message from the Lord. He said, this might help you. He said, I was raised in a little old Baptist church where we never had more than 30 people. He said, my dad's been a pastor there for almost 40-something years, and we had about 30 or 40 people. That's all we ever had. I bet his daddy never knew when he was holding a rope that he had one of the greatest songwriters in gospel music in the basket. I bet Kyla Rowland's mama didn't know that she was going to write all them songs when she had Kyla in the basket. Amen. I mean, we really don't ever know who's in the basket, praise the Lord. But I'm thankful people's willing to hold the rope, amen. I learned something I studied the other night, and I found out something about Charles Spurgeon. How many of you knows Charles Spurgeon? Just say amen. That was a weak amen. So I'm going to tell you about him real quick. He was one of the greatest preachers. He was called the Prince of Preachers in a lot of people's eyes. He preached, and there was thousands of people come to hear him preach. 5,000 people is what his church would hold. And they said there'd be people lined up around the church trying to get close to a window or door so they could hear what he was saying. That's amazing. Yeah. Let me tell you something that's even more amazing than that. Let me tell you about the night he got saved. Charles Spurgeon went to church one night, and it was snowing outside, and only about 20 people come to church, and the preacher couldn't even make it to church, and a man by the name of John Eglin, he was a deacon of the church, and they said, what are we going to do? And John Eglin said, I ain't never preached, but I'll give it a try tonight, and the deacon got up and preached his first sermon. and give an invitation. And some of them says a weak invitation on the testimony of it. But brother, I'm going to tell you something. When he gave the invitation, there was a little young boy in the crowd named Charles Spurgeon. That night, because the deacon didn't just quit because the preacher wasn't there, he was willing to preach a sermon because there's 19 other people in the building. Charles Spurgeon come down and got in the basket that night. Ain't that amazing? How many of you knows Billy Graham? Say amen. That sounds a little better. He's from our country, so more people should know him. You know. How many of you knows who wants Billy Graham to the Lord? Raise your hand. I don't know him by name, but I've read the story, but I couldn't even tell you his name, and I've read it a couple times. I was trying to think up this morning. I can't even think of the man's name. That just goes to show you. What I'm getting at is the man that preached the sermon, nobody knows. But Billy Graham preached a message one time. I really like this. He said, three hinges that helped the door to open up. And he preached about three main people in his life that if it hadn't been for them, he wouldn't have never been a preacher. And he named all three people, and he said, "What the three men I'm going to preach on tonight, probably nobody's ever heard of them." He said, "But I know who all three of them are." And he said, "I wouldn't have been who I am tonight if it wasn't for that." What I'm getting at is this. I won't bring my marks to close. I didn't think I'd be real long. I knew this message would be different this morning. But if you're a youth leader, they're looking to you to be a leader. They're looking at how many times we come to church. They're looking, are we praying? They want, are we shouting? Do we ever cry? Amen. Do we go to the hospital? If we're a deacon, they're looking at you. I mean, one day when God calls some of them, the church chooses them to be a deacon, the standard they're going to look at is the deacons in this church. Are you setting the example? They'll come behind you and do the same things you've done, and you'll be pleased with it. Have we held the line? Are we holding on to the rope? Are we letting the standard down? When they put on Christmas plays, is it just going to be a drama play, or is it going to be something about Jesus, or is it going to be something about Santa Claus? If we hold the line, we teach them Christmas is about Jesus. Then when they get old, they'll teach your kids and your grandchildren that it's about Jesus. Brother Brandon's daddy held the line. Now I believe he's trying to hold the line. He holds the line, his kids will hold the line. Y'all with me? Brother DB, your mama sang. She held the line. Now you singing in church. There'll be others come behind you to hold the line. Praise the Lord. I believe we just need to get on the rope. I thought this would go a little different this morning. I really did. But you know, a lot of times as a Sunday school teacher, you don't really know who you've got in your class. You don't know who you're teaching. You don't know what they're going to do. But if we're not careful, if we're not really careful, I've seen this happen the last few years, and it saddens me to say this. People that's been in church their whole life, and they'll up and just change and go to Seventh-day Adventist. People that sang in youth groups their whole life and turn out to be a lesbian or a gay or something like that. And I wonder, where did the church not hold the line strong enough? How did they lose them when they had the children in church for 15 years or 20 years? How did they lose them like that? Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to feel as a failure. I don't care if we see 50 people saved in this church or 500 people saved in this church. If one or two of our teenagers winds up on drugs or they wind up dead or one of them winds up divorced 10 times, as a pastor, I'm going to feel like somehow we didn't hold the line strong enough to keep them out of the reach of the devil. Amen. Now, you might not think this is serious business, friend, but I'm going to tell you something. Your children's lives depend on how we're living for the Lord. A lot of times we can live for the Lord better than anybody in the county. And I'll just give you a good example. Some people might say, "Brother Jeff, your mama lived for the Lord, your grandmama lived for the Lord. How did you get out of the will of the Lord? How did you get out of church?" I'm going to tell you, because I hope it don't happen to you. It didn't have nothing to do with my mama and granny. But a lot of it had to do with my daddy dying when I was young. I couldn't do nothing about that. My mom couldn't do nothing about that. This is what I believe, and I hope this don't offend any women, this way it is. A mama will love you even when you're doing wrong. She'll just keep loving you. And my mama was strict, but she wasn't as strict as a daddy would be. And you can ask my kids. Now, my wife's strict. I let my kids go a little bit more than my wife will. Sometimes I think she's too strict on the going. But I'm real strict on who they go with. I don't want them to be hermits. I want them to know they can go somewhere. And that's what I told her. I said, just because you don't like to go nowhere, and Ryan don't like to go nowhere, Naomi's a social butterfly. She's like me. She wants to go everywhere. She goes 31 days a month. She wants God to make another day in the month, 32 days, so she can go somewhere else, you know. She wants to go. She's on the go. And that's fine. But she ain't just going to go with anybody. Yeah. Amen. She ain't going to go on a date with just anybody. Amen. She's not just going to text with anybody and talk to anybody. Because, friend, my biggest downfall was some of the people that I run around with, Brother DB. I got to running around people that didn't go to church. Next thing I know, they was wanting to do something. I wanted to go with them instead of going to church. And then next thing I know, I started dating a girl that wasn't really going to church. And next thing I know, she wanted to go to Sunday school, went to Sunday school. She didn't want to go, we didn't go. She wanted to go to church, went to church. She wanted to leave Sunday school instead of going to church. I'd leave. You can say what you want to. But I've said it 100 times down. I would have done anything she wanted me to do, even though I had all that raising from my mama. I done got out of the will of the Lord. And young boys, I'm going to tell you something. You get your eyes on the wrong girl, and she'll lead you right out of here. Amen. I've seen a lot of men that was dedicated to the Lord and got married and quit going to church because their wife they married didn't go to church. But I'd like to commend some ladies here today. Your husbands ain't with you, and I say keep on coming. Keep on coming. I'm going to keep saying, y'all get louder. Keep on coming. It'll pay off for your children. When my daddy wouldn't come, my mama kept coming, amen. And all four of her children is in church today, amen. Praise the Lord. Because my mama kept coming. I remember, I'll share this story and I'll be done. I had a young lady in my first church. I wasn't even there 4 months. One Sunday, I could tell she was really down. She come to me, Brother Brandon. She said, Brother Jeff, we're probably not going to be back tonight. And tears started running down her face. And I said, wow, what's going on? She said, the boys, they want to stay with their daddy all the time. And he works Monday through Friday. And then he won't come to church with us on Sunday, so all the time we have to see him is on Saturdays. A lot of times he's working on Saturday. And she said, I feel like I'm depriving him of even seeing his boys by coming back to church on Sunday. She said, it's just about to rip me apart. You know what I told her? Same thing I'm telling you this morning. I said, just hang on. I said, there's a reason it's starting to get really tough. I said, the Lord's about to do something. If you'll just hang on. I said, he's not going to keep sitting at home. He won't see them boys bad enough. You just keep coming to church. Now, she wasn't coming to church regularly when I first took the church, but she started coming. But then it got tougher because she is away from him. Then the boys is a battling. Well, both the boys got saved, praise the Lord. And it wasn't long after that, what I call the good fishing days for the Lord, a holiday rolled around. It's called Mother's Day. And when people won't go to church for any other reason, they'll come because mama asked them to come. And his mama was the pianist of the church. She had asked him so many times to come. And because his wife kept being faithful, on this time she said, why don't you just come to church? And he said, I think I will this morning, mama. And I'll never forget his testimony. When he ran down the altar, slid in there and got saved that morning, about 2 or 3 weeks after being in her head, that talk. And he got up and I said, Glenn, you'll tell the church what the Lord done for her? He said, yeah, I'd have been saved 30 minutes ago if Brother Jeff would have been quiet. Amen. I'll never forget that. He said, I just wanted to go to the altar. And I kept saying, he'll just be quiet, I'll go. And ever since then, I thought, Lord, please. Don't let me go too long that somebody won't go to the altar. And I might preach simple messages, and they might be short sometimes. Sometimes I might go too long, but if I ain't careful. But all I'm saying is this, the message is about trying to get people to come. And once the Spirit's drawing, you don't need to say nothing else. You need to let the Holy Spirit draw them to the altar. He got saved. Listen to this good story, and I'm done. What, a few months after that? About a month later, he brought his cousin in there. She got saved. He brought a best friend from work in there. It was a Catholic. Drove a dump truck. He got saved. Brought his next door neighbor in there. He got saved. Another cousin come. He got saved. All of a sudden, I had about 7 people baptized. Him and 6 other people. He done brought all 6 of them to church. Listen to this. What long after I left the church, next preacher come in preaching. He announced his calling to preach. And it all started with one mama. They didn't quit. They just held the line. Brother D.B., ain't you glad when your daddy passed away, your mama didn't quit going to church? Boy, I tell you, this morning, a lot of us could look out, and we wouldn't be here today if our mamas and daddies hadn't held the line. And I'm going to tell you something else. This church wouldn't be here today if somebody hadn't held the line. They was people that loved the Lord enough. You ready? Listen. They wasn't just giving a little bit of money to the church. They gave their land that they owned for the Lord's work to be done. Then somebody else gave something else, and they was giving. When's the last time you heard of somebody giving land for a church to be built on now? I ain't being ugly. Everybody's stingy and selfish. I wish I had enough land to give a church somewhere. And I'll tell you right now, I wish I had about 20 acres in Paulding County. We'd be moving. We'd be building something. I'll tell you that right now. Ask your pastor's heart. Amen. I mean, we're gonna stay on the move. We're not going to stop. We're not going to get stale. We're going to pull the rope. Sometimes when we got a hold of the rope, listen to this. You know, people get in the altar and they'll say, "Paul, give. Have you got it?" No. You know, and all that, and that's fine. But it ain't always about pulling. They was giving. What now, Brother Matt? You ever had a rope and you let a bucket down at work? You got to ease it down, don't you? And you got to give. The biggest thing that'll make a church go is you're going to have to give. Give of yourself. Give of your time. I've said this a lot of times, and I'm going to keep saying it again. The majority of this church shouldn't be over 50 years old on Sunday night and Wednesday night. If you don't hold the line on Sunday night and Wednesday night, your kids ain't going to hold the line. When you get old, there won't be a church. A lot of you got saved on Wednesday night and Sunday night. And I'm going to tell you something. If we get where we don't have a Wednesday night and Sunday, there's going to be a lot of people that could have got saved that's not going to get saved. Amen. I know this is a little quiet this morning, but I want to come get a verse of song. A little bit different than what I thought it was going to be, but you know what Saul accomplished once they finally got him to the ground and he got to get out there? He set up a bunch of churches. He got to win different men to the Lord, like Timothy and some of them he said was their son in the faith. He wrote a third of the New Testament. And I said all that to say this, that I'm sure when they let him down in the basket, nobody knew he was going to write a third of the New Testament. Nobody knew that he was going to be the man he was. I like the song Elisa sings sometimes that she had wrote talking about we can lead people. I can't remember now or off the top of my head, but I love it so much, and it mentions about Paul. And certainly Paul led the way for the people behind him. But I want you to hear me and hear me well. I never heard Paul preach. I never prayed with Paul, John. I heard your daddy sing. I heard your daddy preach. I've seen him hold line. I've heard Brother Cook preach and seen him hold line. Seen Brother Wayne Daniels preach and hold line. I've seen your daddy hold the line. Amen. As much as I love Paul, Paul didn't have an effect on me like some of these other men did. But you ready? Because somebody was holding a rope one day for Paul, his daddy had more to preach about because Paul got to write another third of the New Testament. I hope, sometimes you want to say, I hope you enjoyed this morning, but it really ain't about enjoyment. I hope you got what you needed today. There's somebody in everyone in your life that you're holding the line. And I want both my kids to know. I want to tell them today, as long as I live, your daddy might be an oddball. And it might get worse as you get older. But I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. I told my son the other day going down the road, we was talking. And I told him, I said, it bothers me when a woman leaves a man. And this happened a few times the last couple of years. And that's what me and him was talking about. I said, especially if they're a pastor. I said, it bothers me more when she leaves him. And that man lets go of the rope and lets everything go. And I promised him even one-on-one. And I'll promise you this. I can't promise you I'll always be pastoring. But I'll promise you I'm always going to have my hand on the rope. And I'm not going to let go of my standards. I can't make my wife stay with me. no more than any other man can, but I believe I got a good one. Y'all can help me out there and say amen. Y'all, you ain't got much of a pastor, but you got a good pastor's wife. I know that. But what she does don't change how I'm going to live for the Lord. And I told my son, I said, she could quit going to church. I don't think this will ever happen, but I was sharing. I said, she could get back in drugs and drinking. I said, she'd tell me she didn't love me. I said, as long as she wasn't cheating on me, I'd stay at the house and I'd go to church and I'd preach. And I'd love her. And I said, I'd turn my ordination papers back in because I wasn't qualified to pass. I said, but your daddy ain't going to change what he believes because some bad circumstance comes in my life. I guess every man feels that way sometimes. There's a difference in feeling that way and being determined that you're just not going to give up. And I'm just sharing my heart with you today. A lot of times people think, and I'm finishing right here, I'm trying my best to come to a close, but I've heard people say, because a man gets really dedicated to the Lord, they'll say, yep, he's the pastor. You can ask my wife, when we had little babies, we hardly ever missed. Ever. We drove just as far as other people did. Daryl and them, I guess, the only people ever drove further than us with little babies. And as they got older, we had school just like your kids has got school. We're not exempt from school because I'm a pastor, just so you know. They had homework and they had tests, but if they had to do it in the car, and I heard Wayne Daniel say, he said, I'd rather my kids had a report cards with C and D and been in revival all week than have straight A's and know we didn't go to the house of the Lord all week and our church was in revival. And I feel the same way. We got to hold the line. I want my kids to know education's important, but I want them to know that church is more important than education, amen. It is. It's more important than anything else. They can have a great education diploma and be a doctor and still go to hell. They can get saved and be a garbage man and go to heaven. This is important. It's important. You might not think, I think, that what I'm preaching about this morning is more important than what a doctor does in a surgery room. Because you might say, what he does is life and death. That's what we're doing. We're talking about life and death situations right here. We're fixing to give. And I don't think sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, I don't think sometimes, it's because we're human and we're frail and we make mistakes and we all do, but I don't think sometimes we're holding the standard as strong as our daddy and our parents did. They didn't miss and we miss, and they'd go to revival a lot. We don't never go to revival. They did this and they did that. And what I wanted to say was this. I don't come every three services of this church because I'm the pastor. I come here because I'm saved. Amen. When I was at Ebenezer and I wasn't a pastor, was at every service. When I was at Brown's Chapel, Lonnie was my pastor, was at every service. I'll tell you nothing. We just didn't sit on the bench. When I was at Brown's Chapel, we drove the bus. We started a bus ministry, wasn't nobody on it. When we left, there was 15 kids on the bus ministry. When we was at Brown's Chapel, my wife did the Christmas plays. My wife was a Sunday school teacher. She could do it now. But praise the Lord, we got enough help. She don't need to do it. That's why I told her, I said, I don't want to hog all positions. I don't want our family to hold all positions. We got people here. She shouldn't have to. But I know she'd love to help in any way. But what I'm saying is everybody's got to play. So if you can do a Christmas play, if you can do VBS, if you can't do VBS and you say, well, I ain't good at nothing, and you can cook, that helps us in VBS. Y'all hear me? It's a little quiet in here. I'm telling you, every little piece helps. And all I'm trying to say is this morning. Whoever was holding the rope that day, it don't even tell us who was holding the rope, but he wouldn't have got out of the city if they hadn't have done their job. And there's children in here that will not be what God wants them to be unless we help hold the rope and get them where they need to be. Help get them where they need to be. I want us to rise to our feet. Well, Brother Nick, Sister Lisa, whatever song they got on their heart this morning. How about, are we holding the rope? We holding the standard? We got our hands on the line. We ain't going to let go. Our children, our grandchildren, they're dependent on us. They're dependent on us. How about it this morning, Brother Nick? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way this morning.